What's up, Chicago? That's right. It is Wednesday, woo, March the 1st, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you on today. Man, I'm excited. It is Wisdom Wednesday. As always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, alongside my brother in ministry, the one, the only on the far end down there, the good pastor. You pulling plugs out of the socket because I hear it in my ear. Yeah, we hear it. Because I'm telling you, we can. My God. Anyway, how about we? Okay, all right. I was gonna say, let's just chill until we get to the commercial break. Okay, everybody's good. Anyway, in the studio. That's why y'all. That's why y'all mics are off. Michael Henderson is in the house, and Pastor Cornelius Parks is in the house. Y'all, we gonna take a real quick break. When we come back, we will continue on with the show. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
Well, when I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind. And that word is amazing. Company.
And all His love I don't.
amazing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Back, everybody's connected, everything is on, everything is working. Had to work some stuff out, but y'all know how it be. Man, it's just one of them Wednesday mornings, that's all I can say. Anyway, as I was trying to do beforehand, we're going to make sure we got everybody's microphone on. Pastor Henderson, are you available down
hello,
there? On the...
Hello.
Yeah.
I can't hear myself.
We're going to try it again. Can you? You still can't hear yourself?
Hello, I can hear me now.
Okay, and Pastor Park?
Check, one, two.
Yeah.
I don't want to do wrong.
Anyway, you all, we have this spectacular article today. It's really good. Five ways leaders can grasp momentum. Five ways leaders can grasp momentum. This is going to be good, especially with these two gentlemen both being in leadership positions. It's amazing how you have to be able to grab momentum at the right time, because if you lose momentum, it's hard trying to get it back. It's almost like good credit versus bad credit. Once you have it, you better hold on to it, because if it get bad, it takes a long time to fix it. So we're going
to
definitely talk about that. But let me give you guys a rundown on how you can be a part of the show. If you are listening already, you've already called in and you're listening on your phone or your mobile device, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so we simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can email the show at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to tweet the show, follow us on Twitter. Thank you. Follow us on Twitter at TTLO Radio. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at TTLO Radio. We'd love to hear from you there. Also, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. There y'all go up there right there. Ustream. Hello over there. Ustream. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Facebook Live. That's y'all over there. God bless you. Hopefully everything is working well for you all. But bless you. We are good to go over there as well. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO radio. That's where you find us there. And last but not least, you can download or subscribe to our podcast. It is on iTunes. It is on iTunes, and it is also on Blogger V. But it's all, pretty much out there everywhere. But you can find us on iTunes. Simply go to your podcast section, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devonna. You'll find us there. Gentlemen, it is Wednesday.
Morning.
Yeah, afternoon.
Morning.
What's going on, gentlemen? How is everybody?
Man, I'm all right. I'm all right.
It's Lent.
How about you?
It's Lent.
Did you decide to forego something for the 40 days?
Oh yeah.
You care to share?
Oh sure. Sweets.
As you chewing gum.
But I don't want my breath to stink. It don't make no difference. Breath stink and sweets are different. I do something. You didn't want my breath. Listen, you will not be sitting up here in this here movie theater and talking to me about old Reba. Your breath smell like what? Shit. Glad you go. No, when I say sweets, that means cake and pies and candies and all of that. Also, carbonated sodas, of course. So, and fried food. So I need to do that for my own benefit. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
What about you, Pastor Parks? How you doing, sir?
No fried food.
You don't eat fried food a lot anyway, though.
I don't. And then also...
he said until Sunday.
No, Sundays are not included. You know, Sundays
are not
included.
Right. For Lent, Sundays
not
included. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know nothing about that, but okay.
No, skinny people don't want
to. No, I'm just saying, how is Sundays not included in the 40 days?
Not 40 days. I don't know. I just work here.
Yeah, honestly.
So where did y'all get this rule from?
This is the first year I literally found out about that.
I have a book in the, because I do a Lenten devotion with Dr. Joe Albert Bush, who sends it out. I have bring it to everybody for World Missions. But it does not include Sundays.
This is the first year I really heard of it and read upon it. And I guess that Sunday is considered like a rest day or something like that.
That's what I think it is.
Oh,
and so
okay.
Lent goes through you giving it up that Monday through Saturday. Sunday is that free day and go back to that Monday. Seriously, I was amazed. I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Wow. This is the first time, and being one who went to Catholic school the majority of his early part of his life, I'd never heard of the Sunday day being on off the menu.
Yes, sir.
Really?
And if you count them up, it's true. If you count up the days leading up toward.
So if Lent starts today, so you're saying 40 days up until Resurrection Sunday,
yes,
minus the Sundays,
yes,
is 40. Still 40 days.
Yes, sir.
And 40 nights.
Hey, yes.
Well, I don't know 40 nights.
Okay, it was 40 days. Really? Yeah. I'm going to need somebody to do the math. Because I don't believe y'all.
49.
Really?
Pick up your phone and read.
I'm doing this radio show right now. I'm kind of not on my phone at this particular point.
Read.
Okay. Well, that's good information. I'm going to have to do some reading. I had not known that. So you just giving up fried food. That was it?
Fried food. I really don't do too much sweets.
Mm-hmm.
I really haven't considered nothing else major.
Okay.
To be honest.
Okay.
I'm not giving up coffee again.
No, you know what? Listen,
we didn't expect you to.
He made up his mind. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. When the Lord brought him out, when the Lord did it for me, really coming something for you to see. When I tell you. Ow! You already hear
it. I wasn't going to even ask about the coffee because, he made it the point. But then he claimed he don't need it, though.
Well, but now listen, my whole thing.
I'm addicted to it.
Oh, okay, but just.
Hey, now listen. When I tell you, my brother was going through.
I know.
I was going
when
through.
When I tell you, he was talking to the Lord, please remove this bitter cup from me.
That's kind of probably why you should have did it again.
No.
That's not in your.
You said the Lord ain't told it twice.
The Lord ain't
told it.
Nah.
Really?
Nah.
Okay.
I really got trapped into the first go around.
You trapped yourself though. That was.
I was agreeing. I was going with the plan with the team.
We did it fast, but
my point. Right, but
coffee was on the list.
Yes.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. We should have came up with a Lenten fast, Tanya, for the team.
Well, that would have been fine, but we would have had to agree to Lent fast.
Well,
huh?
I come up with Lent fast.
Right.
Wait a minute, I just thought about something. Was you supposed to be here today?
No, I'm suspended. Let's get the record straight. I'm suspended.
Let me confirm this with the
Friday. I'm suspended for Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you know
Friday.
Why? Did you know why?
So gorgeous.
No, because he got to call her Princess of the Moon.
No.
He was on here calling women folk ugly again all
Viola
over the ether way.
It's very beautiful. Her skin is so silky.
See, you, this is why you get yourself in trouble. See, this is when you should just be like, you know what, I ain't going to say nothing.
She's a great woman.
Okay.
See? All right. Even when she cries, she looks like she's laughing.
See? See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I was trying to, like, just let that go.
U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly.
I ain't saying it.
M-A-M-A, ask her how you got that with your mama.
Oh, man.
I'm sitting too.
Oh, my God.
I already know.
Ding dong.
No, listen, on another note. Can we move to another note?
Yes, please.
I want you all to know
quickly
that Pastor Parks preached on Sunday. Yeah?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. I said, go get him, nigga. Go get him, Negro. Go get him. Yeah. I said, boy, go get him. Yeah. Yes, sir. We were at the Baptist Church without a Puerto Rico. Still don't understand the name of that church, but never have understood the name of the church.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's the one he's coming back for, right?
Yeah, the Baptist.
They want to make sure they get picked up first.
When I tell you they want to get picked up. Called up to meet him.
So, see, he didn't tell us about the preaching on Monday. He just said everything went well. He didn't, you know.
Oh!
So give us some insight there, Henderson.
Praise God, Jesus. Number one, let me just say this. I'm not knocking anybody.
Uh-huh.
But now, brother musicians.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Brother musicians.
Oh, Rose was there, too? She said, yes, you did preach. Okay.
Rose didn't come in the evening. She must have been there in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
is this warm
back
up in the morning?
I that was her sitting in the back.
She was sitting in the back.
Hey, Rose. Hey, Rolly. Listen. Number one, that organ was on 500,000.
You mean the volume?
Oh.
Wow. So they have their organ. Let me ask this question if you're able to tell. They not only have their organ going through a Leslie, but they also have it going through the speakers as well, or is it just the Leslie which is turned up?
Because the church is really...
It ain't that big?
It's not very big.
Oh.
It's not small.
Okay. It's a nice size
big,
church.
It's bigger, smaller than yours?
Oh, it's smaller than mine.
Okay.
Yeah, much, much smaller than mine.
Hold about what, 300? Two?
Maybe two.
About two.
200 maybe full. Two. 230.
I mean,
somewhere
yeah,
up in
there. You can pack
so you don't. So yours. So first of all, the Leslie by
don't need
itself,
to be over five.
If that.
Right.
And you better use that volume pedal down there, and they
now,
probably.
I tell you, God bless them. But that young man had it on
5,000.
Had it on 95th Street.
He did.
He had it on 95th Street.
Really?
Oh my God.
Okay. Let me speak to the people in the room on Facebook Live. God bless y'all. Let me go all the way down.
Sometimes we didn't hear nothing but, yeah! Jesus. Yeah! Wanted to. Yes! Yes! Then, Ben David.
Come on, that's what you get.
A.T. Rose said I'm right about it. Then he sat down
uh-huh.
and put his handkerchief over his face.
Uh-huh.
And it got good to him. Jumped up and grabbed the microphone.
Uh-huh.
And the Pope, I don't know who the associate minister was. Now, you know, Parson and I, we're kind of
little stocky.
We're little
big
bones. He got to put his arm around the poor little light-skinned man. Yeah! He's good, ain't he?
Trump last night. Did y'all watch 45 last night? I'm already suspended, so I came in with limited speech today.
Oh, God. You ain't got to say nothing. This is good stuff right here.
Then, yeah.
Oh, God.
I want you to know.
Uh-huh.
He felt that.
He
felt
that thing.
The Book of Matthew, he felt
he came. Okay. All right. He preached until he felt better.
Yeah, he felt better.
I'm a counselor Bible class tonight, so I can come and hear Henderson.
Hey, listen, you know what you're going to get? Exactly what you get right now.
You got to preach tonight?
Yeah, First Baptist Melrose Park for their opening of their Lenten service.
First Baptist Melrose, where is that? Help me out. Where is that at?
In Melrose Park.
Got a track.
Yeah.
That's giving me a whole lot of info.
You know how to get there.
Yeah. Tanya, could you get us the address? What's the name of the church again?
First
Baptist of Melrose Park. Tanya, could you get us the address, please? Because the man preaches somewhere and don't know where to tell the people he's going to be at. Let me speak to the people while Tanya gets that information. Dana Miller, God bless you. Sherry Westmoreland, God bless you. Leslie Kelly, good morning, good afternoon. Wanda Loving Me Hudson, God bless you. Angela L. Johnson, what's going on, twin? How are you? Mooney Johnson, God bless you. Sharonda Rocket Parks. Good afternoon. Is that some kin to you or no?
That's my cousin from out of town.
Hey, cousin. Let's see here. Pastor Cassandra Robinson. Good afternoon. Bless you. She says, waiting for your words of wisdom. We are listening in Conway, Arkansas.
Yonder.
Ooh, Lord. Where's that?
Yonder.
Conway, Arkansas.
Yonder.
Pastor Cassandra from the Sacred Gethsemane Chapel.
God bless you.
Down in Conway, Arkansas. Well, God bless you, Pastor Cassandra Robinson. God bless you. Yolanda King, God bless you.
Hey, Yolanda.
Alicia Henderson.
That's my mama.
Hey, Mama Henderson. What you got to eat over there? T. Dupree Bulger.
Hey,
God bless you. He's Henderson.
He in New Mexico right now.
Good Lord. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Dana Miller say it will be exactly 40 days. So she helped us out with the math.
Thank you.
Somebody helped me.
The prophet didn't believe the prophet.
I did not. Faith Haygood, God bless. She says, good afternoon, suspended. And then Angela confirmed, yes, he is suspended. Everybody know the truth.
Wow.
Let me keep going. Rose Harper said, yes, you did preach. God bless you, Rose. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Rose.
Tanya Williams, God bless you. Let's see who else we got up here. Pastor Carol Turner. What is that man? Right there. I can't wait to get on in here. Pastor Turner, God bless you. Kofi Lee.
Hey, Lee.
God bless you.
He's in Texas now.
Danny Hazel Carpenter. Danny Hazel Carpenter. God bless you. Let's see if I missed anybody. Keep going. Keep going. She put Pastor Cassandra Robinson in August. I said, I can't get no work done listening to y'all. We sorry.
Forgive us about that.
Right. Yolanda says, Pastor Paz, you just can't catch a break. Y'all don't feel sorry for him. Please don't. Lance Gabrielle Ellis. God bless you.
Hey, Lance.
Yeah.
How are you?
Leslie Kelly. Thank you, Leslie. Leslie says, First Baptist Melrose Park is at 2114 Main Street.
Read.
Yeah, 2114 Main Street, Melrose Park, 60160. What time is that service?
At 7 o'clock.
That's the time of my Bible study.
Well, listen, and it's only going to last 1 hour because, you know, Pastor Bells gets me up. You know, I got about a good 18 minutes for y'all.
That's 18, huh?
20 at the most.
Maybe I can sneak over there about 7:30.
Y'all can make it. Come on, make your way over.
Is there a theme for the Lenten season, or is it just
Lenten season?
Oh, you know what? I don't even know. I ask you questions. Why do I even ask questions?
No.
Oh, God. Lenten season. So you really going to be quiet today? That's
limited words.
We're going to limit this broadcast.
I got set up also at the show that we did for Angela.
Okay.
Who set you up?
Angela.
Okay, I just want to make sure you clear the air.
She backtracked all the conversation that we had.
Okay. From this show.
From this show.
Right.
And there were some more people listening.
A lot more people.
And I got some inboxes. And
did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. So, Viola Davis is gorgeous.
See you. Everybody know you're being sarcastic right now.
That's why
you just need to stop.
That woman is bad.
You just need to stop. Go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead.
She's
you said limited words, but you're digging. You're using the words in the wrong area.
I'm not. I'm just speaking that.
Nobody believes you, Park. Right.
A lot of us don't believe.
Can I go a little deeper?
A lot of people don't believe
Jesus
Christ died and he was buried and he rose again. But we still tell the story.
Come on, walk with me.
So I still got to tell the story. Viola Davis.
Angela, I did not throw you under the bus.
She is so gorgeous.
Okay.
Have you seen?
You done?
When she cry?
See, this.
She's like Jesus. There's none like her.
And now we're gonna have an A and a B selection by Mount Moriah.
We're going to pray for you. Anyway, so you did try to bring it up, really. I think you was being sarcastic. But did anybody happen to watch the State of the Union last night?
I did.
You did actually watch it?
I did. I watched the whole thing.
Let me say this. I thought it was a joke when Alec Baldwin and they talk about, and people have made mention of how small our president's hands are. But he literally does look like somebody with little hands as he's talking.
What's the difference with me talking about Viola Davis and you talking about our beloved president?
Nobody's going to be offended by that.
45th. Right. Nobody.
Ain't nobody going to be offended by me talking about Trump except for the handful of... I know I got some Republican listeners. They listen every now and then. But people know that you on stuff. They know you on that stuff. But anyway, so I'm listening to the speech. He tried to be a little bit more. He wasn't
diplomatic.
Thank you. As he was, because he wasn't on his inaugural speech.
His best speech ever.
Yeah. Well, when you got
so
folks
far,
writing for you
last night.
Well, that's probably gonna be the best one ever.
But I'll put it like this way. Now, it may be the best speech ever, but you know, sometimes he has a little problem with delivery because you know his delivery.
Well,
he delivered it well.
He
last night.
It was all right.
I mean, compared to him,
well, I
that
think
was well.
One of the things was he gave the speech when he wanted to mention things that he knew was going to be impossible to get done with the Democratic Party. I don't know if you saw it. He pointed at Nancy Pelosi, and she was like, "And
what do you mean?"
You know, and then when he kept mentioning, and even some Republicans are out saying that they don't want him to. You cannot repeal Obamacare.
Yeah,
it's too late.
You can't repeal it. No. You can't, because it's what happens to the 20 million folks that's on that, that's got it right now.
So we going yeah. So you, what you're gonna do is drop everybody off,
right? And restart it with, he's gonna try to repeal. He can't repeal because it's law. It's the law of the land right now. So you can't repeal it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that's why he wants to, that's why he's trying to put other judges on there. That's why he's trying to put conservative judges on there. He's trying to do that so that they can put something out there. To do this, then they want to reinvest in. For those of you, okay, for those of you who have medical insurance through your jobs, you have your regular medical insurance, which is your Blue Cross, your HMOs, and all that good stuff, or United Healthcare, and then you have what's called HSA accounts, where you put money in a health savings account, is what it is. So you have money taken out of your check, and you put it in a health savings account, and then that money is supposed to be used for health reasons. People buy these HSAs, then you can go like to Walgreens with this card and buy anything from medical related.
Right.
You can use it for if you needed therapy, like when you for your groin and all that stuff. If you had that, you can go and use that. The problem is they're not. There's always going to be coverage issues that you don't have when you have a regular Blue Cross or an HMO and stuff like that.
Right.
So I just thought that they're trying to change this mess, and it's going to be a huge, to use one of Donald Trump's words, huge problem. Huge. Tremendous.
Now,
tremendous.
Believe it or not, I just to even go even further.
Yes.
On a personal note, because I'm having some kind of difficulties now because some kind of way my paperwork got screwed up. And hey,
with Obamacare?
Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
And I missed the payment. So when I missed the payment,
uh-oh,
they dropped me.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm seeing now if they can get
right,
get back right or
uh-huh,
whatever, you know, what have you. And because when I
because now you're past the time for.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now, I remember when I first moved here, I was in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved here, I mean, my insurance quadrupled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then because I was on PPO, it was on a quadruple again.
Yeah.
So I had to go retort back to HMO, which is fine, but I see my doctor.
Right.
But right now, I'm insurance less because of some glitches
in
paperwork.
One of the things that I did agree with that he mentioned was opening up the insurance from other states everywhere, because that will help the competition, because Illinois' insurance is high.
Yes.
So I do agree with having Blue Cross of Illinois have to compete with Blue Cross of Wisconsin.
Amen.
Which is almost $200 less.
Yes.
So I agree on that aspect. I got, and if that was one of the few times he got a lot of applause, because you do, because competition does breed lower prices.
Right.
You know, until everybody start buying out everybody, then you don't. But so, you know, yeah, but I saw that. One of the things that stuck out for me that I really, really did not like, two things happened yesterday. He met with the presidents of the black HBCUs.
Let's talk about that, shall we? Let's digress, because hopefully you're going to something and then somebody else tried to make another.
So my understanding was this, and I could be wrong, so any of you all who are following this, educate.
Walter Kimball wrote something and repealed it. I put it up.
Okay. He mentioned that that he pulled them into the White House. My understanding is that Omarosa knew that they were having a meeting already.
Uh-huh.
They weren't in Washington to meet with the president.
No, they were having a meeting already.
They were already in Washington to meet, period. And I believe they're supposed to be meeting at which HBCU is in the D.C. area, Howard.
Yeah.
They were meeting around that particular area, and she went to Trump. This is the way the story's been told. When Trump said, here's an opportunity for you to get on camera with some more black folk. Sorry. And said, hey, they invited them in. Well, who's going to turn down an invitation from the president?
Right.
So then they get a photo op in the office with him. And then supposedly he signed something. I'm not sure exactly what that was. I meant to do some more looking this morning, but stuff got really flipped around this morning. But he supposedly signed something. But you get this photo op with him and the president of the HBCUs. And
yes.
Big
but you know what the problem is
come
that
on.
My dear on the couch, on the phone.
Oh, Kelly Conway on her.
But now, mind you, people are saying they're talking about Kelly Conway, but they never talked about Obama. Well, most men, and first of all, Obama has long legs and big feet.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sits his feet up on the desk, I mean, who don't? What man?
Right.
Richard Nixon used to do it.
Right.
Kennedy used to do it.
Right.
But now,
they said it was disrespectful.
They're talking about disrespectful.
Uh huh.
She's a female.
Uh huh.
With your feet in the couch cushions.
Like you at home.
Like you at the house.
Because it is. This is our house again. We got that out of there, and we back at home. New furniture?
On the phone.
Right.
You're taking a picture.
Tweeting.
Okay. In other news. In other news.
So anyway, the part of the speech that got to me last night was when he needed to bring up the black folks that he wanted to mention about when he's talking about education. So he grabs, you know, when everything, you know, they invite people to the gallery. So he and so there's this sister up there, mm-hmm. who he started off describing her as, well, she failed third grade twice. Mm-hmm. I was offended already. So everything else that came after that disturbed
me. It just shut you down anyway.
So he says she failed third grade twice. And now because of some grants or something, she was she's the first one of her, in her family to graduate high school.
High school?
That's what he said. Now, mind you, this is 2017.
Okay.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So first, and now she's a and she'll soon be completing her master's degree or something at, and did they say, no, I can't remember if they said Notre Dame or what school she was at. But I mean, you just, I mean, it was like, let me put Negroes on display.
Right.
Let me rephrase. My Negroes
on display.
Then he went so far. Then there was a father up there whose son, because he wants to. You see what I'm saying? Who he wants to start this
voice,
which is violence, something about locking up criminals who are immigrants. And if you're a victim of violence against perpetrated by an immigrant.
Yeah.
So there's this black man whose son was killed by somebody who was an illegal alien who should not have been here.
Yeah.
So he got him up there. We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, his son was going to be a great athlete, blah, 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 blah. And you sitting up there. I'm just done.
They was all puppets, man. They was puppets last night.
Exactly.
They was puppets.
Better than the Muppet Show.
It was a lot of his speech what made good sense, and a lot of it just was shots thrown at Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the after his speech, what's the fella name?
Oh, the Democrat that gave the rebuttal.
They gave their rebuttal.
Yes.
And that speech was great.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes this crazy,
mm-hmm.
is Wall Street.
Well, I'm glad you're going there.
Wall Street have hit a all-time high.
Yes.
Off of his speech last night.
Well,
because, and if you guys will listen to the Democrats'
mm-hmm.
rebuttal,
mm-hmm.
It was stating, look who's in his cabinet. Look who's his
billionaires.
Billionaires that don't care about lower class or middle class.
And truth be told, you cannot run the country like you run a business.
Yeah, exactly. It's impossible.
It does not work that way. You don't just get to hire and fire people.
Yeah.
It does not work that way. You can't say, let's go out, and because of the way the money works, you can't say, let's go out and buy all new copy machines.
No.
Yeah.
You got to say, if it ain't.
You gotta get more.
And this is what he was saying. Now, I interpret this as well. When he kept saying that it's time that we all continue to work together. It's time that we all jump on. He kept saying that over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But then I interpret he's saying that it's either you're going to jump ship, you're going to jump on board,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to get ran over.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, I mean, and honestly, he's
but
doing an aggressive takeover.
Well, he's doing what a lot of Democrats wish Obama had done
yeah.
when he had both the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
Remember that first State of the Union,
uh-huh.
where when you saw behind him was Joe Biden,
yeah.
and Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
Yeah.
Those were the people behind him, and he had everything that he needed to do to get stuff passed.
Right.
And you notice he didn't get the stuff passed until after he had a Senate, when he had a split in the Senate and the Congress.
He was very passive aggressive.
Yeah, he was.
But he didn't want to come in, rah, because they would have been pictured him as this angry black man who wants to get everything together.
Yeah.
And la, 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 la.
Yeah.
But Trump, he's going full speed.
He is. And I just think it's I agree with you. They, those, you know, he made those
folks looked like puppets last night. I did appreciate the moment with the wife of the
Navy
of the Navy SEAL that was killed, even though stories are conflicting because Trump made it sound like we got great information from what we got from over there, but yet everybody's saying there was no valid information gotten from that raid.
Exactly.
He just wanted something. See, this is what happens when you have someone who is pro-military.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not meaning that
he's pro-military.
Pro-military. Every time one of his generals comes to him and says, "Hey, let's do this," he probably gonna give them the head nod.
Yeah.
And he Republicans always Republicans are pro-military. Period.
And yeah,
pro-military.
He's giving them a raise.
54. Well, he gonna try to $54 billion he wants to spend in the military.
In the military.
That he gonna cut from everywhere else.
Well, let me become a chaplain in the military. Right,
he's saying that he's he put on the table.
Yeah.
That they will get a raise.
Yeah.
Their salary will be higher than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Even he talked about giving veterans more.
Yeah, supposedly it's going to be more money for veterans.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a problem with.
No, not at all. Matter of fact, if you're going to give them $54 billion, you ought to put $25 on the vets.
Exactly.
Because they get treated the worst.
It was good to see Tammy Duckworth there. I seen Congressman Danny Davis there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're there for that. But,
sure.
But now we're going to see that the thing that's going to happen is when it's time to vote for our senators.
In 18.
Yeah.
In 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a few days.
Yeah.
Because these people are really, they are really tired. All these town hall meetings and stuff like that.
You've seen them.
Oh, they're showing up.
Yeah. And then we'll move on real quick. So you see he's blaming Obama for the town hall meetings being attacked, for the Republicans being attacked at the. He's saying that Obama is running the ground game again, and they're sending in these people. But these people are Republicans that's mad at these meetings. These are Republican town hall meetings.
Barack and Michelle Obama just signed a deal for some books. They ain't got time. First of all, she made her first appearance after leaving office on yesterday. They don't have time to be doing that crap.
No.
Really?
Let me read this. Some of these comments. Let's see here. Let me go back down. Make sure I didn't miss none. Oh, Angela's talking about American Airlines insurance is good. HMO Illinois. Okay. She also said that nobody is offended by what I said about Trump. She thought told me to let you know that nobody said he mad. You mad, bro?
No. All right. So after I said something about Viola Davis, they came right back and talked about Halle Berry here.
They?
When I said now, listen,
Paul.
Okay,
they?
Okay. Well, it was majority.
They?
You probably didn't say that.
I didn't say a word.
Okay.
Okay. Because
I'm talking about the panel.
Okay. Because I didn't say Jack.
Halle Berry looked like she had a couple of birds there. She had on my grandmama's clown wig. I don't need to lie about it because she did. She had on my grandmama's clown wig that she wore. The big old afros. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
But now
let me give you this.
Come back, please.
And this may be the problem, man. And y'all help me out with this. In eyes of people, Halle Berry, because of her skin tone, may be viewed as, of course, more beautiful than those of the darker complexion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my personal opinion, because I have seen some people that were not presentable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody loved me but my mother, and she could be jiving too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but. I don't know what you say about that. But now, when I went and how to get away with murder, when she took off all that makeup and all them eyelashes, she was not the best thing in the world. But now, when she accepted the Emmy, I thought she was beautiful.
Uh huh.
And it's because I'm of the darker hue.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
You need some help? Oh, you got it.
Okay.
You know, you had to lean over a little bit.
I couldn't go forward because I got a big stomach in the way.
Right.
So I had to lean with it and rock with it.
Yeah, move it over this way. So I don't know what he said about Auntie Viola.
That she's beautiful.
Okay.
That's it. Anyway, so look, y'all, we got so much. We want to jump into this article pretty quickly in a minute here. Once again, Pastor Henderson is preaching tonight at First Baptist of Melrose Park. Where is it at again? Located at
on Main Street,
2114 Main Street, Melrose Park, 60160.
Now you don't know that's Tyrone Block's home church.
I don't know who Tyrone Block is.
Hey, what? Why everybody look at me? Do y'all know who Tyrone Block is? Yeah, they know who Tyrone Block is.
Well, I don't know who brother Block is.
Tyrone Block used to direct the Tommies.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't, you know, I'm not.
You know what? We're revoking your music card. Give it back.
That's fine. Y'all can take it. It was a temporary membership anyway.
Right.
It was looking. It had expired anyway.
Hey, Mama. How you doing?
I hadn't renewed. Oh, real quick, man. We want to definitely set a prayer up for Sister McCurtis. Who got sent to the hospital on yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to go to the hospital. Blood pressure was way out the way.
What you doing? Madea.
Right. Way out the way. So we definitely want to pray for her. Blood pressure and sugar was high. Now, I'm going to talk about her when I see her because she know
probably,
better.
She probably hadn't eaten.
Blood pressure and sugar high?
Sugar.
Something.
You know, sometimes when your sugar goes down.
But no, it was. So, so we y'all keep her Sister McCurtis in your prayers. I just thought about that. It's just so much going on. Anyway, y'all, look, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna jump into today's conversation. It's going to be good. Five ways leaders grasp momentum. We're gonna be right back, y'all. TTLO. Peace. When the Lord returns.
Now, singing like they sing it in the Matrix.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
My body all over your body. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, that's what it sounds like. How did the show go on Friday with
We were going to do part two. Of the show. Thank you. Sorry about that, you guys that were listening on the line. We had some issues. But while we were going to do part two of the show on next Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Right, I'm supposed to be on. I got to send a picture.
Yeah, they want a picture of you.
Tanya, look on my Facebook page. You wonder.
They tried to, man. They say your pictures are not your pictures are not that well done. They need you. Better. You need some nicer pictures.
No, I want to give big ups to Prophet. Cornelius Williams. That was the first time I met him in person.
Oh, okay.
Really? He's a sharp brother.
Okay.
Don't you take that to your head, Corky. Yeah. We've been friends for minutes.
He's sharp. One thing I like about a guy that a great preacher, writer.
Mm-hmm.
When you know more about what you're preaching or writing than anybody else.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this to say that even if he have defense in his argument.
Oh yeah, very much
his
so.
Book.
Now I can take you back because seriously, and those of us know, we've been knowing each other seriously for I know more than 30 years.
Okay.
Because we kind of grew up together and we went to the same grade school, the same high school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we ran in some of the same circles. Matter of fact, he was our choir director for our gospel choir.
Okay.
And so I've been knowing him, and he's always been a very proficient president. He's one of those people. He has that bulldog tenacity. If he grabs a hold of something, he got it.
Yeah,
he was, and again, I'm glad you brought that up. He was, I mean, he is dogmatic about his point of view.
Oh yeah, now. Oh, and gonna stand on
and,
his point.
And stands there, and we only got to scratch the surface.
Yeah. Yes.
When we talk with him, so we will be continuing that conversation on Wednesday. I'm kind of turning the show over to my twin Angela, letting her have this platform on Wednesday. So TTLO will be partnering with one sister to another on Wednesday. What's that date? Wednesday, the Tanya, help me, because y'all know I don't know no dates.
It's the 8th.
Is that the 8th? I believe that
it's
is the 8th.
Away, that's the 8th.
Yeah, so that will be Wednesday the 8th at 12 noon. We've already got the show set for 2 hours, so we know.
Okay.
We good, and if we need that extra time, we got it. It depends on everybody's availability after that. But
and then, Tanya, I'm going to send you a Pikachu.
Yeah, so we have that. It will be a special edition. It's Prophet Cornelius Williams, The Church and the Gay Agenda, What Now?
And I have the book.
It'd
I
nice
need to send it to
get an audience, man. That would be
part two. That would be interesting.
I just thought about that.
That would be interesting.
Well, we have do it in a round form or something. Because
I'll tell you what.
Man, I'm interested in this. I'm uh-huh. serious. I uh-huh. always wanted
to
get
to be a round table discussion.
Yeah, I always wanted to get down to the depth of this with the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and even with some of the brethren we hang out with. I threw the question out there,
mm-hmm.
and got great insight on it from different
yeah.
guys. And so
yeah.
I made a vow that I'm going to do an extensive background study.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time Wednesday comes,
mm-hmm.
Not to say we're arguing with him or debating
no,
with
no,
him.
No, 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 no.
There's many questions, biblical questions,
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to throw out and even to make sure we get the right interpretation,
mm-hmm.
Make sure we have observed the text. Because I love how he came into Genesis 1:26 and pretty much when he said Adam, when he opened his eyes, that's when sin was... that's when
prevalent, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And you know, we could take that text and that verse in so many different exactly.
Directions. Yeah,
and so I want to make sure that because truth of the matter, he's done his homework.
Yeah,
oh yeah, oh yeah. Now he's
done
he's,
his
oh, yeah.
homework.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Trust me,
there's no doubt. Yeah, and I think that the conversation is going to be awesome. We'd have to talk about that. Thank you, Angela, because Gerald Montgomery brought an amazing aspect as well, being the son of a preacher who was sitting there from 1390,
yeah.
Inspiration 1390. He was there as well. It's going to be awesome. I'm just, yeah, it was really short. Rose says she's glad. Yeah, so we are definitely, that's next Wednesday. You don't want to miss that next Wednesday.
Yeah.
The TTLO is going to be presenting one sister to another's conversation on the church and the gay agenda. The church and the gay agenda, what now? That's
yeah.
the question. What now?
And if you have a chance to read the book.
And if you can. The book is available. The link is out there. The book is available. It is on Amazon, and it's on another website, too, pwc.org, I believe. I could be getting that wrong, but it's out there as well. It's not on the Kindle yet, because I would have bought it if it was on Kindle, because y'all know I don't like real books. they take up too much space.
I love it.
But anyway, but I do know we ordered the book. I think Tanya has a copy of the book for us, and then I probably should have gotten one from him because he said he had some in his car. Like,
yeah, I have a copy.
You already have it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I mean, so it's going to be good. You don't want to miss that. Mark your calendars again. March 8th, TTLO will be presenting one sister to another here in the studio, here at our studios, and to continue the conversation with Pastor Cornelius Williams. Author of The Church and the Gay Agenda. So that's going to be good. But today, y'all.
On the ninth.
On tonight. On today. We have this great article, 5 Ways That Leaders Grasp Momentum. 5 Ways That Leaders Grasp Momentum. You want to make sure we get that. Thank you. Oh, it's PWC. It is pwcglobal.org. PCW. I tore it up. PCWglobal.org. Thank you, Angela. She posted it on the it is available up there on Facebook Live for you guys who are watching. She put it in the comments. Thank you so much, Angela. I appreciate it. So that's where we are. But let's talk about today, y'all. Today, leadership has always been a big deal here. Wisdom Wednesdays is the time we talk about leadership. We talk about we always try to grab articles that were written for pastors.
and for leadership purposes. So this article simply talks about five ways to grasp, leaders grasp momentum. It was just written a couple weeks ago, actually. So this is what the writer says. Dan Ryland says this. He says, next to God's favor, there's nothing a leader desires more than momentum. Momentum is a force that is greater than the sum of all your leadership energy, effort, and resources combined. Momentum is not a mystery. It contains elements such as vision and competence, but it cannot be manufactured upon demand. Momentum is the spiritual X factor that propels your church forward at a rate that is difficult to explain. You work hard, but God's hand is evident in the momentum of any real substance. The more we understand momentum, the better we can lead toward it. So here's the writer. He says, five thoughts to strengthen your leadership grasp of momentum. Pastor Henderson, number one, please, sir.
Momentum is fueled by vision and activated by faith.
Talking to Mike a little bit more. Thank you.
Momentum
thank you.
Is fueled by vision and activated by faith.
Thank you.
This is a clear evidence of the partnership we have with God for spiritual momentum in our churches. Vision is the source of fuel and Vision is a source and fuel of momentum, and faith activates God's hand towards momentum. Without a clear and compelling vision, there is no direction to follow. Without faith, there is no invitation for God to provide a power larger than human leadership can muster. It takes both large vision and great faith to see momentum catch traction. Momentum is not magic. It's available to all leaders and their churches.
I think speak your mind.
Momentum can be sometimes slow.
Yes.
And sometimes fast.
Well, that's another part of the article.
Okay,
sorry. So don't you get fine.
Because not only do you need vision casters,
mm-hmm.
but you also need vision catchers.
Yes. Yes.
And believe it or not, on Sunday, of course, I went to hear Marvin Wiley, and he said something. I'm going to preach the whole sermon about it. Hold on just a minute.
Pastor Wiley, where was he at?
He was at Beautiful Zion.
Okay.
Beautiful Zion.
Yeah.
And he talked about vision casters, just a little snippet, because I'm going to
mm-hmm.
do a whole series on it.
Mm-hmm.
Vision casters, vision catchers, but there are also vision corruptors.
Ooh, Lord. Yeah. My.
And sometimes
those
vision corruptors, as you're casting, can
mm-hmm.
cut the whole line.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with the thing about momentum and trying to build good momentum,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's a whole nother thing. And, of course, it's vision and activated by faith, but it's probably a little bit further down.
It is. Okay. Go ahead.
Vision is what gives you direction.
Mm-hmm.
Direction is what gives you momentum.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have vision, you can't have direction. If you don't have direction, there's no type of momentum that you'll be able to have to go forward. And a lot of times I've seen this. Leaders cast vision, and they don't even believe in the vision that they cast.
Mm.
And now you want everyone else to carry the vision out
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and do the work, but you have not given them direction.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times, and understand this, every vision that comes to play may not be for you to announce it right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There are some things that needs to be in the parking lot. Sometimes you don't have the capacity to do certain things that you believe
yeah.
that the Lord is telling you to do. Because there's a strong – and it's a thin line between vision and idea.
Yes.
And a lot of times we flirt with the fact of idea
mm.
and call it vision.
Mm.
And that's why back up to it tells to write the vision, make it plain. It's hard to write an idea down
mm.
with points. But you can write vision down
mm-hmm.
and you can see vision
mm-hmm.
and it give you a clear way to activate the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we know we activate it through our faith, which he said.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not speaking clearly
mm-hmm.
of the vision – the people that are hearing the vision, it will fall on deaf ears, number one, because they don't understand for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of I've seen this. A lot of people, vision is bounced off of others' ministries.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
And we have not gotten our own identity.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trendsetters.
Mm-hmm.
We're duplication. We duplicate
right.
others' ministry and try to fit it for our ministry.
Which was never intended for you.
Which it was never right. intended. So what we do, we'll take some of theirs out and put the plug mm-hmm. some of ours in.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole shaping is not us. Yeah.
Yes. It's like like you got to get a leg cut off, but now you putting an arm
prosthesis.
There you go. On it, that's not your original leg. Mm-hmm. It's just helping you mm-hmm. to get to where you need to be.
Right.
But without the full body itself, sometimes it can handicap you.
I think I like the part of this where it just says real plainly, without a clear, compelling vision, there is no direction to follow. If no one you can believe you have momentum, but if the rest of us who are supposed to be following you don't have a clue to what your vision is,
exactly, right.
Then your momentum is false.
Right.
So the question is, what is momentum?
Exactly. So then it's like so the momentum then, because here's the deal, people look at momentum differently. I remember some years ago, it was Vacation Bible School, and we had a bunch of folks showed up for Vacation Bible School, a bunch of kids, right? And people got excited because all these kids came that they weren't our regular kids.
Mm.
You took that as momentum, and it wasn't.
Mm.
It was a one-time event, because then you tried to duplicate Vacation Bible School 3 months later. Mm. So we're going to do it again. Didn't happen.
Mm.
Why? Because one of the things he talks about is capitalizing on momentum.
Right.
What did you think you actually did when they were here that was going to draw them
back?
Other than give them a sandwich or two.
Right.
What seed did you sow?
Yeah, exactly. So momentum, like you said this at the very beginning of your statement, it's sometimes a long, tedious process.
Yes, long process.
It's a long process. It takes a while to grow a garden.
Yes, Lord.
I agree.
It takes a while to grow a garden.
Yeah.
Let's keep going, y'all. That was number one. Again, we're talking about five ways leaders grasp momentum. Number two, Pastor Parks.
Momentum is sustained by competence.
Mm.
When vision and faith are part of your culture, the state is set for momentum. God is not obligated, but he is now invited.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership competence is then required to build and sustain momentum for as long as God's hand is upon it.
Mm-hmm.
This leadership competence comes in the form of strategy. The strategy helps sustain the momentum that vision and faith support.
Mm-hmm.
Don't overcomplicate the idea of strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Strategy is your simple and clear written plan. That's it. Do you have a plan? It is clear. Are you working it? Are you adapting as required? Stay focused on vision, faith, competence, and strategy. And actually, we jumped in. I called it direction,
mm-hmm.
but here is strategy.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of people, we mentioned vision over the pulpit, but that's it. We don't give nothing so the people can see it,
mm-hmm.
so the people can move upon
mm-hmm.
the goal we're trying to reach. What's our aim? What's our focus?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I hear the vision, but okay, what's next?
Yeah. I love at the end down there, the very last part before he goes into this 4 points, where he says, do you have a plan? Are you working it? Is it clear?
Is it clear?
And then the most important one to me is, are you adapting as required? Meaning, you got your plans. You see certain aspects of it need to be changed.
Yeah.
Are you willing to adapt to change it, or are you going to be stubborn
yeah.
and say, this is it, this and this is the only way it's going to work?
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of stuff crash because people refuse to adapt.
Man, them 4 points, vision, faith, competence,
and strategy.
I mean, here, number one, vision is the casting.
Yeah.
Faith is the believing.
Yeah.
Competence is the knowing.
Yeah.
And strategy is the going.
How it gonna get done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you look at those 4 points, and that's a mirror on how to release
mm-hmm.
vision. And a lot of times we lack number three.
Yes.
Oh, competence.
Competence.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because number one.
And when that one is missing, all of it fails.
Everything fails. I don't care how much faith you have.
You have all this. If you don't got the right, if you don't have the competence,
you
ain't got to do it.
Yeah. Come on.
Push it. You got to have the people in place.
And that's the biggest issue in so many churches where the pastor may have a wonderful vision.
Yeah.
But either he or the people around him are not competent enough to carry it through.
So. Now, this is where God is very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
God is very aware and smart of where we at.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, we have to adapt and adjust to where we at.
Yes.
Don't think that you are bigger than what you are.
Yes.
You know, you got, I mean, it don't matter how big or how small the vision may be.
Yeah.
God just wants us to get it done.
Yes.
And so you got to know your audience. You got to know what you're working with.
Yes.
And if you're not working with a whole bunch of
middle class people.
Yeah.
You got to know how you,
you
need come, to.
You got to water the Kool-Aid down.
There you go. You,
be that strong.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There
I,
you
I
go.
And
a lot of times, because of we've seen the success of others,
right?
Mm-hmm. We want to mimic that. And we become spiritual copycat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's hurting us, when you become a spiritual copycat, not only are you taking people into the land of unknown, but you walking in a land that you've never been yourself.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And when you're going somewhere that you've never been before,
yeah,
now you get confused. Now your competence is all out of whack because you don't know which way to go.
Yes.
Now you don't know how to lead. Now it's to this point. Well, let's try this. Let's try it. No certainty. Mm-hmm. That none whatsoever. You just trying to plug something in just to make it fit. This is like somebody preaching a sermon and he just plugging some scriptures in.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because it sound right. Yeah, there you go. Perfecting. Just because it sound right, you didn't do no word study.
Right.
You didn't do
right.
No look at the original text. You didn't. I mean, it sound good, but it didn't fit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you're trying to force it. And I love this because. What makes the vision really come to pass is really having great momentum. But a lot of people don't understand it takes work.
Yes.
To get momentum to sustain momentum.
Yes.
Because we do know. Now, when you're doing, as leaders, when you're doing a big event, it's 6 months, 6 weeks out, mm-hmm. that's when you cast it.
Yes.
And so now you got 6 weeks of hard work.
To making it roll.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now you got to keep a momentum for six long weeks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, those are some long weeks.
And you
got
to keep it in front of the face of the people.
Yes. Yeah.
And believe it or not, I'm glad we're saying this because I'm trying to get our media ministry up to par. Because right now, people can't see us having screens in the church right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But what they can see us doing is making sure the services are recorded,
mm-hmm.
put on compact discs, put on DVDs. So that means now we got to buy a computer and another camera
mm-hmm.
to make sure. Well, that may not be anything, I mean, great big. I may want screens, but right now, let's start there. And then the thing about being about momentum, it is a...
You need a computer or a laptop.
A laptop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a train. A train don't start off as and that's how momentum starts. It starts off slow.
Mm-hmm. It
does. I mean, it starts off very, very slow. But matter of fact, we got somebody that's working on it. And then I found out all the thing we had to do was say something about it. But that's a whole nother story. But it's the thing about it. I like this whole thing because and also, well, the shoe polish that told me that Vernon. Dr. Vernon does for the year. That concentrates on one thing,
one particular ministry a year.
That makes sense.
One ministry. He focused hard on that.
On one ministry.
And he sees the fruit.
That makes sense.
He sees it.
It's of all the, and then that's why I got in my head that even next year, thinking about some of y'all, my whole ministry next year, our whole theme is going to be on hospitality.
Yeah.
Mm.
The whole year.
The whole entire year.
Mm-hmm.
All of my sermons are going to be wrapped around hospitality and things of that nature because it can be done.
You know what can help you? Go to hotels. Go to some of the top hotels in the city. Go to some of the top restaurants in the city.
Yes.
And see how the service, see the hospitality.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to get them out of the church to get into
a
bigger picture. You know, we might not want to eat the food, but... It's the service that makes the atmosphere great and make people want to just continue to come.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so even I love it when Ari Vernon said that. I said, man, listen
that's my ministry.
That was off the chain. That was off the chain.
I think I love what both of you guys said. And I like what you said about Vernon only doing one ministry a year. And it's probably because he's competent enough to recognize that that's all that they can focus on.
Yes.
Yeah.
He probably realized and said, you know what? I know who I got.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give them one task.
One.
And we're going to focus on that one task.
Yeah.
Because we do one thing very well. Let's do that. And then once you get that established, and after a year, you should be pretty good at it. You start to build up momentum.
Yeah.
Now you can let that thing go because now he can say, okay, y'all got that. It's
y'all
got momentum.
It?
It's moving.
Yeah.
Now I can move
then let
over
me go
here.
Over the Christian education.
And believe it or not, I'm going to tell you this. Even – We look at one task. Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not.
Especially if there's stuff lacking.
Yes, our hospitality goes in everything.
Yeah, but watch this. If we just focus 1 year on men's ministry,
oh wow,
men bring women, women bring kids, equals family.
Yes, all day long.
Now, because you worked on men's, you worked on women's ministry, then you worked on youth ministry.
Yes.
Now you have worked on marriages.
There you go.
Yeah. All because you worked on the one entity.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, that's the way I'm going. However, if the people are not hospitable.
Yeah. Oh. And sad to say this, I'm sorry. Listen, y'all know me, but I got to be honest with you. The church had the snottiest attitude people at the back door.
My God.
And I'm being honest.
Sometimes it's true.
I'm being honest. It is not taking it away from how great our churches are. But truth of the matter, most people go to the John Hannah's because before you even get to the door of the sanctuary, you're getting bombarded with love.
Yes.
You know, these people standing out there hugging on you, don't even know you, with a smile on their face, it make you feel warm already.
Yes.
You know, in the parking lots of some of these big, big churches, when you see security, when you see them watching over you and they telling you, man, have a blessed day, or how you doing today, or if it's raining, they give you their umbrellas.
Yes.
That stuff matters.
Yes.
It matters.
And listen, and it's a little simple because we did an article about the things that made people come back to the church. I remember us talking about that. Just a little simple thing.
That's it.
Of you saying, thank you for coming, have a blessed day. Or that's even, and well, ain't nobody here but our members.
Hey, that's the training ground. And here, the speaking
rehearsal,
on the hospitality piece that you just talked about. When people are genuine, if it's that we talked about this before, if you and me and you walk through the door together, you ain't have a word to say to me. But then we in the church, all of a sudden the pastor they turn around to speak. You don't think I don't remember that?
Oh right.
My God.
So see you. So it's got to be. It's got so by doing it for a whole year.
Yes.
Then it's going to force people to say, you know what? Even if my mood is bad, I'm still going to speak.
I'm still going to speak.
The man at the beautiful gate.
Okay, come on now. Come on.
Yes, sir.
He sat out there, and everybody passed him up.
Yeah.
I preached it two or three times. One, I said, a man been beat up. He been passed up, but Jesus lifted him up.
Yeah.
And when he got into the church, the same folks who passed him up, he saw them praising God.
Yeah.
Seriously.
What is your response?
That's good. Yeah. And then I preached also a lame man at a crippled church.
I preached that too.
Yeah.
Oh my. Let's keep going, y'all. Again, we're talking about five ways leaders can grasp momentum. Pastor Henderson, number three, please.
All right. Momentum or lack of it may screw your perspective. Screw you.
Thank you.
That's true. Y'all pray, Pastor. Spread his lint. Pray the Lord. See your perspective. When you don't have momentum and you're struggling to grow, it's never as bleak as it appears. When there is no momentum, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It does not mean God has abandoned you. Sometimes, to borrow a phrase I love, you are waiting for God's next fresh wind and fresh fire. I agree. Keep praying, working hard, and making the best leadership decisions that you can. When you're expecting great momentum, when you are experiencing great momentum resulting in rapid growth, it's never as good. Thank you. I'm thinking about what I was going to say. Never as good as it appears. Momentum covers a multitude of flaws and problems.
Yeah.
When things are going great and the big mo is with you, it's tempting to think that you have made it happen and that this is the way it always works. It's easy to forget that without God's power, the momentum is over. Amen. Or you begin to think that you now have all the answers. Remember where you come from and how you got momentum. Keep it. Momentum doesn't remove the hard work. It multiplies it. Thank God daily because you don't do it all yourself. And keep working hard. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hardest thing.
Go ahead.
When it comes down to momentum, the hardest thing is getting started.
Amen.
Because you got all the reasons in the world not to get started.
Not to get started.
You got all the reasons in the world to procrastinate, all the reasons in the world to be lazy or complain, fuss, or even question your own vision. And so One of the things we got to look at, even in when you get going, it's going to take much prayer.
Yes.
It's going to take fasting.
Yes.
It's going to take singing. It's going to take lifestyle changing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, all this matters when you're casting something miraculous that you know that only God can do.
Yes.
And if you can do this on your own, it's not a vision.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
If you can do this without the support of others,
mm-hmm.
it's not a vision.
Right.
It's an idea.
Right.
If you can do it without crying, if you can do it without even thinking about throwing in the towel,
mm-hmm.
if you can do it without even having struggles, is not a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Vision is rough.
Yes.
And it's not for the faint at heart. It's for those who continue to press, knowing that it's rough now, but we're going to see glory at the end.
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, when it comes down to vision, you'll start seeing snippets of glory, but
yes.
you're going to see more clouds
mm-hmm.
than you are sun.
Yes.
And so what tricks us is we might not even feel until the coming to the end
mm-hmm.
of it that it's really coming to place.
Yes.
It's like a puzzle piece. When you start it, you're looking at it, it's like, man, how am I going to do this?
I ain't going to never do it.
You ain't going to never do it.
Yeah.
But you put a piece here, a piece there. It's not until you take time to sit down
mm-hmm.
and take time aside to start putting that thing together
yes.
that you see it clearly.
Yes.
And one of the things that we got to keep going is your mojo. Your mojo got to
keep
going. Man, you got to work that thing. Whatever it is that's in your group, on your team,
mm-hmm.
and whoever it is got more energy, ride it until
yeah.
they get exhausted. And while you're riding it, you look for somebody else who got energy.
That's right.
Jump on that one.
Keep it going.
Keep it going. Keep it going, because don't ride one wave all the way through the whole thing, because at the end of the day, every wave die when it get to a shore.
Yes, sir.
And so you got to know how to jump waves, jump ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not abandoning the vision, but it's jumping on top of what's moving. If you look at I like to swim.
Okay.
I love swimming. I love going to the sea, ocean swimming. But I love to see the waves
mm-hmm.
because some waves are bigger mm-hmm. than other waves.
Right.
Okay.
And you know, I don't know if you guys ever surfed before.
No.
But if you surf, you get on that board, and they teach you to get on the – if you are an experienced surfer,
mm-hmm.
you get on the biggest wave.
Yeah.
But if you're not experienced, they don't even recommend that you stand up yet.
Right.
You just stay, land
afloat. That's right.
So, in essence, you got to know your position.
Yeah.
Got to know your posture. You got to know who is it out of the three of us that got the momentum right now. And now, truth of the matter, it might be Henderson this week.
God bless.
Mm-hmm. But come on, mm-hmm. I might have an anchor man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dana,
mm-hmm.
it's like a relay. You got to
yeah.
know how to pass that baton, y'all.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I love vision, y'all. Go ahead.
I want to jump on something you said earlier about you finding the right person and moving. We need to be careful not to overuse folks.
There
right.
you go.
Because you can. Because
say it again.
We need to be careful.
You're going to talk about it next one
right.
too. Yeah.
Not to overuse people because what you think of as momentum is you killing somebody else.
Right.
And that tends to happen in smaller congregations.
Yeah.
Because you got your core people, like you talked about this before. You got your core people you
yeah.
work with.
Yeah.
You got your core people.
Yeah.
Some outside the church.
Yeah.
You got your core people you work with, but you have to be careful. Here's the deal. Is your momentum catching, or is your momentum only catching the people that support you?
Right.
Because the goal is to get other folk to buy in. The goal
yeah.
is to get other people to invest.
That's good.
Because, see, we all partners. We
yeah.
good. We say, all right, what
yeah.
we need to do?
Yeah.
It was mandated.
The
right.
trick is to see if we can to get other people to invest in what the vision is.
That's good.
So then that's stuff
man,
that we definitely got to do. Where are we at? Number four. Again, we're talking about five ways leaders grasp momentum. Pastor Parks, number four, please.
Momentum can take an unexpected twist
yes,
toward entitlement.
Yes,
momentum and entitlement seems like unlikely partners.
Mm-hmm.
Here how it happens. When your church is experiencing tough times, everyone is in the same boat. You are trying to survive. There is no surplus. There's no perks to compete for it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no fame or notoriety. It's all hands on deck to keep the ship afloat and moving forward. Everyone hunkers down and works hard for solutions.
There you go.
When a church finds success, it can take a very different turn.
Yeah.
Favor brings reward. Mm-hmm. And so many want a piece of profitable pie. It might be desired recognition.
Yeah.
A new title, a place on the org chart, more staff, a new building with nice offices. It doesn't really matter what it is. The point is that it can cause leaders to lose focus on what got the momentum going.
Yeah.
Watch this. Leaders can become distracted by potential rewards. This also kills momentum. There's nothing wrong with rewards. It's when those rewards become the focus.
Yes.
That is
deep. Yeah.
We always need to get pat on the shoulder.
Yeah.
We always got to get credit for the things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that really destroyed. Pastor, you didn't call my name.
Yes, sir. In a minute.
You didn't call. I do all behind the scene work.
This is good because it kind of reminds me of the conversation that you mentioned about when you first got into pastoring. About you used to always call special attention to your who you thought was your best tithers.
Exactly.
And not knowing
exactly
by doing that, you were probably killing the momentum.
I was.
Of the other people who were tithing their best.
I was.
But their name never being called.
Right.
So we have to be really careful. And that's why I'm not a stickler because and Pastor Miller, he's 85. He has a tendency on Sundays to, when people come and hand them their envelope, he has a tendency. Well, sister, brother so-and-so dropped off his envelope before he left here today. He had to go to work. And it's like, we know that already because he works on Sunday, so he's going to drop his envelope off anyway.
Right.
But it's like other people do that and their name never gets called.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the name you call their name because they gave you the envelope. What about the ones who gave the envelope to the deacon over here or sister so-and-so over here? So we need to be really careful. Because there are always a lot of twists and turns when it comes to momentum and this part where he says the second thing here says when your church is experiencing tough times and we all in the same boat, there's no surplus, no perks, none of that stuff.
Right.
We need to make sure that everybody recognize it's kind of like this. I'll use for example, when you know there is no surplus, y'all pray for me.
Yeah.
When you know there is no surplus, then that means you need to rein in spending.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That means all of the little pet projects, not the ones that are important, but the pet projects probably need to be put on hold.
Yeah.
Put it on hold.
You know, you can't say, well, man, you know, I'm thinking about starting a new ministry and I need $2,000.
Yeah.
Well, bro, that's going to have to wait.
We don't have to wait on that. Yeah.
That's going to have to wait because, see, the bills need to be paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we got to, you know, so when you're thinking about moving forward in something, when times do get a little rough, you do need to, I like the word you use, hunker down.
Uh-huh.
You need to say, okay, let's batten down the hatches. Let's ride this little rough wave we got.
Okay.
We know we're going to come out on the other side.
Right.
But we're going to just ride this thing out until we hit smooth waters again. Then we can start rebuilding the surplus.
Yeah.
But the worst thing to do is be in the middle of a famine and y'all got, you got 10 cans of soup and you decide, well, tonight I'm going to make gumbo and I'm going to use 7 of them cans.
No.
That's just selfish.
Yeah, that's
but that's
you know, honestly,
I won't gumbo.
What I did this year, I knew our church is in the struggle,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that this is our 60th year church anniversary.
Okay. Yeah,
The church anniversary in March. My anniversary is in February.
Oh wow!
I canceled my anniversary.
Yeah, gonna move it back.
Move it back.
Okay.
It didn't make sense to rob Peter, pay Paul.
Right.
Because truth of the matter, if they're gonna give me, and I see the church is in need,
they're gonna get it. You're gonna get whatever you're gonna get regardless.
Exactly.
No matter what money it is.
At the end of the day, you want the people to see this is not about me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about us church as a whole at large.
Yes.
If we come together collectively, and how we celebrate
mm-hmm.
at the end of our campaign, then we come in and celebrate. Don't try to celebrate weeks.
Yeah,
man, celebrate.
Yeah,
come back next
eight.
Week
yeah.
and release something else.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
What hurt us? We want to celebrate too long.
Yes,
and when you start celebrating too long, it knocks your momentum all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Now understand momentum. Momentum is not just set in that vision at hand.
Yeah,
it's set for church at large.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and so if you're working on one project now, if you're a nice size church, you can do two or three at one time.
Yes, yes.
But for smaller churches, we got to focus on this one project at a time, and to bring in to exhaust everything that we possibly need to get revenue, capital, or whatever it is, members, whatever it is that we're our aim. Now, what happens at the end or at the middle, and we are announcing how far we're close here, we're close there. That's not the time for everybody to be saying, okay, I wonder if you're going to call my name. I put my No.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, let's celebrate this thing together. If you did your part, now let's try to persuade, influence others to do their part.
Right,
if you're one of them like me, I'm not a ticket seller.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to sell tickets, I just pay the money.
Right.
Now,
yes.
Why don't I just help somebody else, give them some pointers? Have you got rid of your tickets?
Mm-hmm.
Or don't wait till the last week.
Right.
To ask them about ticket count. No, I mean, we're a team. Let's get this done together.
Yes.
We got a goal to meet, and let's reach this goal together.
Yes.
Momentum is a funny thing. You know what I used to watch when I was a kid? I used to love to watch these, and I don't know why, but I used to love to watch the telethons when they came on television.
Yes, yes. Yes.
The one that Jerry Lewis telethon.
And United Negro College Fund,
right. That one, and then the one for the United Negro College Fund. And you watch these things, and you see them say, here is our goal.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so let's say, you know, back in the day, you know, the goal was, you know, $500,000.
Uh-huh.
Much more than that now. But, you know, the goal. And so you see them at, like, $450,000.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then you like, well, man, they almost there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then all of a sudden, you see the phone line start to light up because people want to be part of what pushes them over the edge.
Yeah.
But you're constantly getting updates.
People want to be a part.
People want to be a part.
Yes.
But you can do that when you're constantly getting updates. So it's just like if you were doing a fundraiser in your church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You do a fundraiser, and you're saying, well, we need X amount of dollars for our sound system, or we need a new van, or we need a new this.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, here is the information. Just like with the vision, you have to constantly cast that thing.
Yeah.
You have to constantly say, hey, here is where we are. This is where it is. And then if that's what you said the fundraiser was for, that's what it has to be for.
Yes.
Say it again.
If you say we're raising $15,000 for a sound system,
that's what it needs to be for.
You can't get to nine, and because momentum stops, and it probably stopped because you stopped talking about it.
Right.
Because momentum stops. Now that nine is just sitting there, and now all of a sudden, well, you know, the bathroom need a new toilet.
Yes.
And that office need a coat of paint.
Yes.
Well, we got that 9,000 sitting over there. No.
That's for that.
Dude, that's integrity.
Because now I gave you money for what you said we needed.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden you're flipping the script.
Yes.
And doing something different with it.
Yes.
And so the cast too.
Yeah.
People watching you.
Yep.
And seeing what you're doing.
Yep.
With what they gave.
Yes.
Yep.
They want to know.
And honestly, if you do the right, if you are a good steward.
Yes.
Over
good.
What
that's
they,
good.
They that you project.
That's good.
And what you're throwing out, what you're casting.
That's good.
Then it wouldn't be a problem when you need them to come back and help you
that's
again.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
But if you do still building a lasting legacy,
mm-hmm.
10 years,
mm-hmm.
when you done put too much money in this and you still in the same condition, questions gonna come up. What's going on?
What's happening?
And if people see you follow through on one idea,
just one, right?
You'll get other people to jump in on the next one.
Yeah.
So you might have only had 7-8 people to jump in on that first committee.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, man, they did that and they did that with that. And here you come again.
Yeah.
Now you got a track record.
Yeah.
They can look back at your history and say, well, you know, last time Pastor said he had a vision,
mm-hmm.
that thing came to pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to be a part of it.
That's right.
Because watch this. People will see other people get blessed by their obedience.
Uh-huh.
And then they will want to jump in and say, well, okay, well, that group, man, they put their heart and soul behind that project. And look at what God did with that thing. The next time Pastor opened up his mouth, I'm jumping in. I don't care how crazy it sounds.
Right.
And every time after that, it will grow and grow and grow and grow. So that's good stuff, man. That's good. Again, we're talking about five ways leaders can grasp momentum. Number five says this. Momentum never lasts forever. Keep your foot on the pedal.
Yeah.
The natural response to things going your way is to let off the gas and coast a little.
Ah.
He says, when you experience momentum, it's not the time to coast. It's time to push the pedal to the floor.
Yes.
Take full advantage of the favor God is granting.
Yeah.
God delivers the favor, but you fan the flame.
Wow.
When momentum fades, don't panic.
focus on the small wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says momentum comes in different seasons and in different ways. Don't try to copy the momentum you once had. Let me read that again. Don't try to copy
That's good.
The momentum you once had.
We can't copy it.
Let God grant his favor how he chooses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep leading with fervor for the vision and faith that God is with you. Let me say this. I've seen it happen so many times where you've had momentum and then you took your foot off the gas and then you lost it.
Yes.
I have seen this. You cast vision.
Yep.
And you had a goal.
Yep.
And you hit that mark.
Yep.
Then come right back the next year to the same vision.
Yep.
That's not of God.
That's not right.
It's not of God.
No.
And then you
it's
cannot.
Over. That vision is over.
And then you can't. And then please don't. And no one knows the church where our pastor has this thing, has this stigma. Do not compare the momentum that the previous pastor had.
Come on now.
Yeah.
To now.
Come on.
That's good.
Come on.
And this is no offense.
God gave him a different vision.
Gave him and it was a totally different time.
And it was a different time.
And people were different.
That's true. That's true.
People were different.
I try to tell people here at Kingdom that the vision that James Horton had in 1972 was what God gave him in 1972. And he carried that thing through until he died in 1995, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You can't carry that vision.
No, we can't.
The vision that God gave Moses ain't the same one he gave Joshua.
Exactly.
That's true.
Okay?
Exactly.
And Joshua passed that thing. You cannot continue to try to walk somebody else. It don't work that way.
Right.
It don't. Because we got a spirit of complacency.
Yeah.
We are complacent. We are comfortable.
Yeah, we get comfortable.
And we don't.
But it's working.
Yeah, but this is when this.
It's working.
This is when this slogan is a lie. If it ain't broke,
don't fix
it.
My God.
That's a lie.
Oh, my God.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
Or don't reinvent the wheel.
Wow.
What?
I'm a different person.
Wow.
Yes.
I have a different spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a different heart.
Yeah.
I have a different mind.
Yes.
I have different energy.
Yes.
I have a different anointing.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean because what he did
mm-hmm.
was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He got us to a place where he capped off.
That's
and he
it.
Passed the baton.
That's
and
it.
He passed the baton.
That's it. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Man, it's I don't think we should ever I remember I used to get so frustrated. When you start something in ministry and you see the ministry about to take off and then something happens to stagnate it and
yeah.
then you lose momentum for a few weeks, then you try to come back and now it's gone.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I remember with Bible study some years ago, we had – our Bible study was poor. We had like 4 or 5 people coming out. We changed the way we were doing Bible study, and all of a sudden we started gaining momentum and we got to like – we started getting like 15, 16 folk to show up. And once that happened, it's like, wow. And then we can't. Then we start canceling Bible study.
Yeah.
Because of the weather.
Yeah.
And I got angry because I said Negroes go to work when it snows.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I need, you know, I'm concerned about my old people. Well, if they need to stay home, let them. But don't kill the momentum of everybody. Because guess what? Them old folk gonna come back. As soon as the weather break,
they gonna come back.
We fickle. Young folk is fickle.
Yeah, we are.
We ain't got to go this week. We probably ain't got to go next week either. Do.
One of the struggles in ministry,
yeah,
is that we don't hang around people that hold us accountable.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lord.
Let's say that whole thing. Oh, my blessed Savior.
One of the struggles in ministry is that we don't hang around people that hold us accountable.
And can we say this? Can we also say this? I just want to put a comma
mm-hmm.
and just go along with you. We don't like for people.
That's good.
To hold us.
That's good.
Accountable.
That's good.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they feel as though the only person that needs to be held accountable is the pastor.
That's good.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most dangerous persons in this world.
Mm-hmm.
One who never want to be held accountable.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason he or she is like that is because they've never been.
My point.
But you know what? I think it's different because at their jobs they are.
Well, see,
they've never been
in the church.
In the church.
Yeah. Because you can't, because you can't tell me you're not professional.
The same thing that happens with professional athletes who were catered to all the way through high school because they were all state.
Yeah.
Then they went to college and they were all number one. Then they were in the top five draft pick coming out, and they've always got everything catered to them.
True.
And then they get to the NBA, and now all of a sudden you want to do this and that, and it's like, nah, bro.
That's right.
Because now, see, here's the difference. You in a league where everybody is just as talented as you.
Yes, sir. Or even more
talented. Or even more talented.
That's right.
And guess what? We ain't got to cater to you. And those are the ones who disappear after 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
And truth of the matter, before you even get in there, you have to take an assessment test.
Yes.
You should.
You should. I mean,
when your talent is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
People overlook that.
Yeah.
And then on the things they should hold you accountable for, they don't because of your skill.
So
exactly.
Is that the reason why we let anything on our stage?
Yes.
Because
yes.
we,
yes.
their
yes.
gift,
yes.
their
yes.
talent.
Yes. yes.
Yeah, and that's
yes.
why we don't hold
them
accountable.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
yes. And here it is. And I can use this as a prime example. As we were talking about musicians, and I was expressing, of course, you know, sometimes I'm my musician, God bless you, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I know he can be lazy because you all have made him that way, and
mm-hmm.
we have. But I always say to them this right here. I say, number one, he ain't messing with none of the boys and none of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go find him in the crack house.
Mm-hmm.
And he is dependable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lazy, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we made him that way.
Mm.
Because what we'll do is we'll juggle. But then some things are unacceptable, and you have to be able to call him out on that. But as we said earlier, we don't want. I'm going through a problem right now. We don't want to be held accountable, especially by black folks.
And the talented ones, we're afraid because we think they're gonna leave.
Yes.
We don't want to hold them to account because if you chastise me the wrong way, I'm up.
I'm gone.
I might get in trouble by saying this.
Come on.
But I believe sometimes God sends people that have our same character.
Wow.
I can agree.
Wow.
That's I can
good.
Agree.
That's
that,
good.
That we don't like.
That's good.
Yeah.
To show us why people don't like us.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Good.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
I can agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're a mirror image of what people see in us.
In
yeah.
us.
But we don't see it
but
ourselves.
We don't see it. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Wow.
There you go. And
wow.
And to be honest with you, you know,
that's good.
I'm be real. I look at guys to hold me accountable. You know,
yes, sir.
When
yes,
we
sir.
Get together, we
yes,
got,
sir.
We are, it's accountability.
I want to, where you been?
Yeah,
what you
exactly.
Doing?
And you
what's
know,
happening?
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it ain't to be nosy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand this. Being held accountable
is
not trying to invade your privacy.
That's right.
But it's trying to keep you lined up.
Yes.
Because sometimes we can get loose along
mm-hmm.
the way.
Mm-hmm.
Can
some,
get,
yeah,
will get.
Yeah, exactly, because of our flesh nature. But
yeah.
if you hang around some good people that love your ministry just as much as you love it,
mm-hmm.
then you'll know that, hey, man, I know it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain people, now I'm going to be real with you, certain people can come to me and tell me some things that I just swallow it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But there are some people
well, yeah.
that I know don't have my heart.
Yeah.
That it's hard for me to digest.
Yes.
It.
That's why you have to be so careful. That's why, you know, and the word judgment gets thrown around a lot in Christianity and in church.
Uh-huh.
Don't judge me. I'm not being judgmental,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah. But here is the deal. We need to be careful when we call ourselves chastising or judging other people. It's all in the way you do it.
Yeah.
Like you said at that time.
Yeah.
When you come to me, like you talk about the lady that came to you.
Uh-huh.
Now listen, baby, such. Don't come to me. Well, you know I love you, right? No.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because I know you're coming. You know I know your spirit is not right.
It's not.
Well, even because believe it or not, I'm having getting
mm-hmm.
to have a meeting.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to have to set up and say, all right, give us constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And accept constructive criticism. However, make sure you're giving it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein we can take it.
Yeah, because
yeah.
here is the deal. If I feel like you really don't have a care for me or concern
and you're
for
coming,
me,
you coming at
and
me,
and then you coming
way,
at me,
oh, I don't want to hear what you got to say.
Because see, here's and it's always amazing when it comes from people. You barely have two words to say to me, but now you got some criticism.
Yeah. What's the problem with that? I have one deacon, and God bless his heart. You call him my pimp deacon. I have a deacon, and he'll say,
old
"Pastor,
school.
I need to talk with you."
That's old school.
All right, come on, and he'll come and say, "Now, Pastor, I'm not telling you how to do things,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to look at such and such."
See, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with
ain't
that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather,
he's always been that way.
Yeah. I'd rather for him to come to me at out of love.
Yeah, because I know he's concerned.
Right.
That was out of
yeah.
Number one,
If he's not concerned about you, he's concerned about the church.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
You want people, and I'm going to be honest with you, you don't have to like me. Love the church.
Yeah, love the church.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
that's
love
the church.
Love the church.
That's the whole focus.
That's the whole focus.
We're not going to just love the church.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, don't wait until something hit the fan before you try to attack me.
Yeah.
When this been you've been holding this in for 3 or 4 months.
No, If it come down the pipe, come to me, and those things I can, you know, that I can look at. All right, fine. Those things I can't, you know. Hey, there's some agenda. But then here is the thing, and you said it about it being able to adjust.
Yes, adapt.
The heat is still on. Adapt. I'm sorry, You know, and you have to know where you are. I know when I'm hanging with the fella, I can act a stone fool.
Right.
But if I'm depending on where I am, even on the radio show, I can go so far, please. But I know, you know, I know how to adapt. I know how to adjust my
turn it off.
We
have to be very, very careful because I can't. It bothers me how we did the article. I think we did two of them on bullies in the church.
Yeah.
And how people can take what they perceive their knowledge of Christ and Christianity is, and turn around and try to tell you that something ain't Christ-like.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Or that you're not in, or that you aren't acting like a Christian. And my response to them would be, well, did you approach me like one?
Right.
That's the problem. And the best way, if you ever have an issue or need to approach a matter, before you do it, number one, pray.
Yes.
Yes.
And then number two, find scripture.
Yes.
That will focus on what the issue is.
Yeah.
If it's not a Bible story, if it's not scriptorial, you go ask somebody else for counsel on how to approach the matter.
Before you go, right.
Because truth to them, you know, some people be ready to attack.
And see, I said this the other night about a month ago. We had a guy teaching Bible study. We were talking about how he was talking about unity and how to talk to people. And I made this comment. I said, in the church, we have a very bad reputation of thinking or belief that we can just walk up to folk and say whatever we want to say, and because we Christian, we got to take it.
No,
and we need to be very careful.
Yeah,
because everybody ain't as saved as you.
Right.
Yeah. And see, you're gonna walk up and you're gonna say something, you're gonna type something, you're gonna send something, you're gonna run your mouth about something one too many times on the wrong one.
Yes.
In the church house.
I ain't going back to that church because they hurt my feelings. But listen, how did you give it out?
You know, I know sometimes it may appear that I can't hold my tongue, but I thank God when there's matters of importance, I'm not a fighter in the church. I promise. I'm a fighter in the street. I can fight anywhere else, but the church is one place that I just told the Lord, if I got to fight to be here, Lord, it's not meant for me to be here.
Right.
I'm serious. It takes too much out of you. But I know how to silence my mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to. I really know how to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. I know how to sit down, be quiet, because 9 times out of 10, it's going to come right back around.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And God will always show you what it was and what it is through the disobedience of others.
Yeah,
that's good.
The main ones who trying to put you on blast, they're not doing nothing but causing
nothing.
More havoc, hell, than anything in the church. And so you're a bigger fool when you're fighting against somebody who don't even know words.
Exactly.
Wow, that's good stuff. Look,
don't
y'all,
know words. Yes, sir.
This has been awesome. Pastor Henderson, would you pray us out, Cardinal, sir?
God, because of who you are, we give you glory. Because of who you are, we give you praise. Because of who you are, we lift our voices and say we love you, just because of who you are. I pray, God, that this would help enrich some pastor, some leader, someone who's working in the vineyard, God, who needs help and just needs propelling to go forward. We pray, God, that you would help us to be strong so we can be strong in our community. Bless us and keep us, those who are sick and shut in, those who are bereaved or the confined and distressed, God. Bless us and keep us as our prayer until we meet again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look, y'all, once again, the Cardinal, the Pastor Michael Henderson from the Second Baptist Church of LaGrange will be at First Baptist Church of Melrose
Park.
Melrose Park, I think that is Melrose Park. That is 2114 West Main Street.
It was just
2114 Main Street.
Main Street, yeah. Main
in Melrose Park. That's at 7 p.m.?
Yeah, that's at 7 p.m. And then Reverend E.F. Lebetter III will be, what church is going to be at on 87th Street?
Tonight?
No.
Thursday.
Thursday. He's doing Dang, the revival.
Yeah.
It's on 87 and Racine.
Okay. Okay.
Rem Jones, somebody. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So we got you got anything going on tonight, or you just going over to hear him? So you can are you can you can
nah.
Oh, you're not canceling Bible stuff. So you can't do that.
No, you can't cancel Bible.
Right.
Too.
Right. That's wonderful. All right. I might sneak in though. I
come
might be able to sneak
come
in.
Come on over here.
I might be able to sneak in.
People is friend and the peace of the Lord is going on. Ba, 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 ba.
Right, right. Anyway, y'all, look, it's been a great show. Look, we're excited once again. Next week this time, we will be continuing our conversation from Monday, one sister to another. We will be continuing that conversation as soon as we get done. We're going to be good. That's with Prophet Cornelius Williams, myself, Angela Johnson, Cornelius Parks, Michael Henderson,
Gerald
Montgomery. Thank you. We'll all be here in studio next Wednesday. Make sure we have the information is already out. The link is already done. The show is actually already set. So it's going to be good. Y'all don't want to miss it. Y'all stay blessed. We got to go, y'all. TTLO.
I'll see you guys
sweet
Monday.
Bye.
Monday, I'll be back.
You will.
Hopefully.
Y'all
sweet,
be back.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.